So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 25. But today the focus verse and our 2023 theme as a church that the Lord has laid on my heart is verse number 33, which we will look at in a moment. As we think in 2023 and today in our message, putting Christ where He should be in 2023. Putting Christ where He should be in 2023. And as we all know that He should be first. He should be number one. He should have the preeminence. But if we look at our lives, and I want us to today and this year, take a look at our lives and see where He is not number one and make Him so. And we're going to learn in the message today how to make if we want to get Him in number one in our lives, then we have got to prioritize Him and the things of Him. You know that what you enjoy, what you care about, is what you prioritize. Think about that. What do you prioritize? What do you say, everything in my life fits around this? Whatever that is, I've got to make this happen. Maybe you love playing a sport. I've got some people I know that absolutely love to play golf. Their life, a lot of the time, is it is worked around golf. So there's golf, and then there's everything else. Well, how can I do this but get to play golf, or do this or get to play golf? Or it could be if maybe your New Year's resolution for 2023 is, I want to eat better. Well, guess what? If you get up every day having not prepared beforehand to prioritize eating healthy, you're not going to do it. I know that from experience. That's why I am in the literal shape that I'm in, because I did not prioritize eating healthy. If you're going to do that, you got to prioritize it. Same thing with working out in the gym. It's not like, well, if I get extra time, I'll go work out. Guess what? You're never going to find that extra time. But if you say, I'm going to make time at this time every day to go work out, then you may do it. That's the only way it's going to happen. And that's the only way that we're going to put Jesus where He should be in our lives in 2023 is if we prioritize Him. And we'll talk more about that in the message this morning. If you found your place in God's Word, I ask you to please stand in reverence to God's holy Word. We'll read verses 25 through 34. The Bible says this morning, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for the raiment? For raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And here's our focus verse for 2023. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this privilege, Lord, to proclaim the truth of your word today. I pray that you would give me the grace spiritually and physically to proclaim the truth of your word today. I pray you touch my throat and help me, Lord Jesus, to rightly divide your word. And I pray to open every ear in this room to hear what your word has to say to us. And please give us, give me the grace to be obedient to what we hear. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we look at this text this morning, before we get to verse number 33, there's some things we need to unpack in our text. The first thing I want to point out this morning in the scripture before us is the context. Because if you'll notice, what's the first word of verse 25? Therefore, right? And if we see the word therefore, as you all know, we need to see why it's therefore. It's referring to something previously said. So what was previously said? Well, we see that in verses 19 through 24. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So we see here the context here. It's saying, but prior to this, it says, you're either laying up treasures in one of two areas in your life every day. When you get up, what's your goal? Is your goal to build up treasures this side of heaven? Or is your goal to pad your heavenly bank account so that one day we will have rewards to offer our Lord back? And if we're going to put up treasures in heaven and not on earth, then we've got to do what we see here in the passage before us. Now, I understand that you've got to work to make money to get your needs met. But so many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we spend way too much time focusing on, worrying about, thinking about, being consumed by getting our needs met and maybe even our wants. We're consumed by this side of heaven. We're consumed by the riches and things of this world. And that's what we see here in the text before us. And it's telling us here, therefore, because our goal is to put treasures in heaven and not in earth. Therefore, verse 25, "I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" So we see that's the context, and then we see the command. I just read it. It says, because our goal is not to build our earthly bank account, but our heavenly bank account, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Said, don't worry about the things of this world. Now, I've got to meet the needs of my family. I've got to work to meet the needs of my family, but I should not be consumed by that. That should not be why I get out of bed, put my feet on the floor, and go into the world each and every day. I mean, if the only reason we're here, and we're going to see it in just a moment in our text, is to make money, to meet our needs, and that's all we do every single day, then we're missing the point bad. I mean, if that's all there is to life, is to get up, go to work, make money, to have our needs met, and do the same thing every day, what a miserable life we live. But when we realize, we as children of God, when we get saved by the grace of God, we have got a higher purpose, a higher calling. And so the Lord Jesus here is telling us, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. So we see there, that's the command, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. If we're honest with ourselves, we probably do more than worry about having our needs met there, but we focus on getting a certain kind of food or a certain kind of clothing or things like that. But the command is not to focus on those things. And number three, we see the consolation. And we're going to camp at point four in just a minute. But number three, we see the consolation. Because there may be some people in the room or some people watching or listening or people you know who they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. We see a consolation to all of us in verses 26 through 32. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." So these fowls of the air, that they're not worried about having their needs met or getting this or getting that. They're just doing what birds do, and the Lord meets their needs. And then it says here, "Are ye not much better than they?" And it goes on to say, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature?" If you worry about it enough, can you make yourself taller? Man, if I could, I would have a long time ago. I played first base when I was in baseball, and I would have killed for about 4 more inches. But I cannot worry about it so much that I make myself taller. We do not have that ability, so we shouldn't worry about it. And same thing with having our needs met. Although we should work to have our needs met, I mean, it's not something that we should worry about. That is in the hands of God. And we're going to see He's going to take care of His children. And it goes on to say, verse number 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field." So we talked about the birds. The Lord feeds them. And then we see that, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." He's saying these lilies, they're not worried about being clothed with beauty. They're just doing what lilies do. They're just going about life as God intended them to. And He clothes them and makes them some of the most beautiful things. Even more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory, the Bible says there. Verse number 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven." So if He clothes something so meaningless as grass or as a flower that's going to be beautiful for a short time and then die, if He's concerned about that, then it says, "Shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Verse 31, "Therefore," because we know that if He's going to take care of the birds, if He's going to take care of the flowers, He's going to take care of us. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek after." Do the Gentiles seek after, those that don't know God? Listen at this. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." God knows what you need. He knows it. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't ask Him for it. We see even in the model prayer, we do see that a very small part, the smallest part of that prayer, is "Give us this day our daily bread," asking Him to meet our needs. I believe we should ask Him to, because He tells us to, but we should not be consumed by it. Should not be consumed by having our needs met. But the consolation there is God knows what we need. He knows what you need. And a lot of times He knows what you want. If we're honest with ourselves, God has given us way more of our wants than we realize. But we see that's the consolation. But number four, I want to look at, and this is what I want to focus on. We see the condition. The condition. What I mean by that is, so God knows what we need. And we know all throughout the Bible, God promises to meet the needs of His children. He promises that. But the condition of that is a child. We see in verse number 33 here, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So I put this as the condition is, because now, although God may very well meet your needs, and He has mine in times when I've not been living as I should, but He does not promise that He will to a child of God that's being disobedient. He may, but He doesn't promise that He will. If you want God's promise that He will meet your every need, and I'm not saying He's going to make you a millionaire, don't go prosperity gospel on me, but that He will meet your every need, then this is the condition. This is the condition that if you, by God's grace, but with everything in you, are doing this, you can know, no matter how dark it may get, no matter how hard it may be, He's going to take care of you. And we see the condition here. And I want to point out first, as we look at verse number 33, I want to point out first that it is personal. So this would be A under number 4. It is personal. Notice it says, "But seek ye." And then at the end, if you'll notice, it says, "These things shall be added unto you." So if you seek Him, then you will have your every need met. That's what it's saying there. This is personal. I cannot put Him first for you, and you cannot put Him first for me. We've all got to do it personally. We've all got to make up our mind by God's grace that that's what we're going to do. And as you do it, it will encourage me. And as I do it, hopefully it will encourage you. But I cannot do it for you, and you cannot do it for me. It is personal. But we see next that it requires pursuit. Look what it says. Verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek. The word seek there, it means to seek in order to find. To seek a thing. To seek by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into, to seek after, seek for, aim at, strive after. To seek, require, demand, to crave, demand something from someone. Does that describe how we seek God? My favorite one, what makes me snicker, is seek in order to find. How many of us are actually seeking God in order to find Him? What I mean is to know Him better. I mean, do you come to church to know Him better? Or do you come to church so you can say, I came to church? Seek in order to find. And what's it look like to seek God? First, the mission of our seeking God, we see, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What are we seeking? We're seeking His will. We're seeking the growth of His kingdom. We're seeking to walk in His way. That's what every child of God, what we need to be is consumed by God, His work, and His will for our lives. That is our mission. We shouldn't, what Jesus is saying here is, we don't need to be consumed by what we need and what we need to wear and the things of this world, but we need to be consumed by seeking Jesus and His will and the furtherance of His work on this earth. That's what we should be doing. And what does that look like? So we see the mission, but what is the means? And this is not an exhaustive list, but this is what I thought of. So we see here the means first. One way we seek God, and maybe you made up your mind in 2023 that you're going to do it, is through reading the Scriptures, through reading the Word of God. And I hope that everyone here does that. And if you don't, maybe today, it's the first day of 2023, you can start read the Bible through in a year plan today and make it all the way through. But that is one big way how we seek God, how we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness through reading the Word of God. And I hope you will do that this year. And not only reading the Bible, but studying the Bible. See, a lot of stuff, if we read it, and that's all we do, we're going to be led down a dark road a long way from where we're supposed to be. That's why we need to, that's why we have many different belief systems with people who read the exact same Bible I'm reading from right now, because they don't study it. They take it at face value, they don't dig into it, and then they're led astray. We got to not only read it, but we've got to study it. We got to meditate upon it, think about it, so that we can know what is being said to us. So we seek first the kingdom of God through reading the Bible, through studying the Bible, through praying. He speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him through prayer. And one of the greatest ways to pray and kind of direct your prayers, keep you centered as you pray, is to pray the Scriptures, to pray the Word of God. I encourage you, as you go through the Bible, you see a great prayer, a great thought, pray that back to God. You're praying His Word, which means you're praying in His will if you're praying it correctly in context of what's actually being said there. So through prayer, we, like Brother Chris said this morning, we're not going to get anywhere with God until we've got a pretty good prayer life. Now, none of our prayer lives are perfect. Mine is far from perfect. And that should encourage us to know that it can always get better. You say, my prayer life stinks, I don't do it much. Well, the best way to do it is to do it. The best way to get better at it is to do it. And that's the only way you get better at something. If all we do is say, well, I can't read the Bible, I just can't get into it, and you don't do it, then you're never going to get into it. You're never going to pray. You're never going to understand it. So through reading, through studying, through praying, here's another one. Through faithfully attending church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. A big way to do that in 2023 is to faithfully be in God's house. Not so that you can check a box and say, I went to church today, Lord, you're welcome, but so that you can come to church, be strengthened by the other believers, be fed from the Word of God, so that you can grow in your faith. And so that you can come worship and praise God. See, when somebody's living a godly life, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, speaking to God in prayer faithfully, and they come to church, imagine if we had a church filled with people who did that all week long. And then we came to church. We'd have something special on our hands. I believe sinners would get saved and lives would be changed if we would all come prepared, but faithfully. And that's why I put faithfully attending church. Faithfully attending church. And I know things happen. And I know sometimes you just can't be there. But it needs to be more than I just don't feel like going today. Guess what? If I went to church every time I felt like it, number one, I wouldn't be here today. I tell you that right now. My throat is it is feeling all kinds of weird right now. You don't go to church because we feel like it. We go to church because we're commanded to. We go to church because we need to. I need you. I may not be feeling the greatest, but I need you. I need this. We need each other, and we need to faithfully do it. And as we do it, we will be encouraged. We'll be strengthened. We'll be helped. We've got to faithfully attend church. But not only faithfully attending church, but we also seek first His kingdom through participating in the work of the church. Now, I praise the Lord, I'm at a church where I'm preaching to the choir. I thank God when I say I need help with this, everybody pitches in if they're available. But, I mean, that's how you do it. It's not just church attendance, but it is church participation. God's got a work for you to do here, or He wouldn't have you here. You're a part of this body. And every part of the body, maybe somehow insignificant they may seem by the look of the eye there. Then remember, I don't want to go into the pinky toe story again, but my pinky toe, I didn't realize how important it was till it was broken, till it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. Then my whole body was hurting. Faithful participation in church. But not only faithful participation, and this is the one that's not fun to deal with, but giving to the work of the church. What did it say earlier? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we all looked at our financials and saw how much went to church and how much went everywhere else, that would show where our treasure's at, and where that means that will show where our heart's at. And sometimes with me, it's things to look at, because there's some things I enjoy buying. But let me back up and say this: God doesn't need our money. God does not need our money. He doesn't need it. He can get His work done in any way He wants to, but He wants us to be a part of His work. And a big part of that is financially giving to it. The first step of that is the tithe. You say, well, Pastor, the tithe is not in the New Testament. So you're saying in the New Testament we should give less than 10%? We're now under grace, but let's give less than what they did. If we're going to get technical, the Israelites gave 23% or 26%, if we're going to get technical about it. But that's the first step, tithing. And I praise the Lord that my mom and dad taught me at a young age how to do that. Not so that we could pad the pockets of my church. That's not why I'm saying that. But I learned how to get in on God's work financially at a young age. And God, every step of the way, all throughout my life, as I have given, He's blessed. In times of my life where and there's a difference between a tithe and an offering. The tithe comes off the top, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the tithe is the first 10%. You may say, do you give off the gross or do you give off the net? You pray about that and see how God would lead you. I give off the gross. But that's off the top. And we need to understand that's not your money, that's God's. I've heard one preacher say, he said, we're talking about the tithe, we're not even talking about your money yet. That's what he says. We give to the work of the church by the tithe. Now, I believe God can get His work done. But I believe God placed you here to be a part of His work to help get it done. And one way to do that is through the tithe. But there's also offerings, be that missions. And that's the big thing here at Mount City Baptist Church. And to be honest with you, I wasn't really exposed to missions much before I came here. I'd never heard the term faith promise. But when I grabbed a hold of that, and I began to give to that, I mean, it changed the way I felt about missions. When you, when you pay money for something or put money towards something, you care about it a little more, don't you? And when I began to do that, it changed my perspective on missions, and God began to bless my little brother. Now, he would probably hate me for mentioning this, but he, like me, had never really been exposed to missions, and he goes to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Gray, Tennessee, and he had never heard the term faith promise. He asked me what it was, and he began to give, and he gave, and where his job, he looked at his financials, and I'm not going to go into any of that, but he said he looked at his financials for the year to see just kind of where they were at and what how it looked throughout the year, and he said, I looked at it, and you could tell when everything began to explode for him, it was the very month he began to give to missions, because God's in that. Because that's the heart of God. He wants you to be a part of that. I'm telling you. That's the next level. Tithes to start, missions, King's Kids Fund. Now, missions should not be your tithe. King's Kids should not be your tithe. You say, I'm going to put my tithe here this week and put it here next. No, it's a tithe and then the rest. But that is another big way that we can get in on the work of God. And when we financially invest, we feel more obligation toward it. We pray for it. Hey, if your money's on the line, you're praying that God work. At least that's what I do. You may have money just to throw out and say, hey, well, Lord, hey, here's an extra for you. I'm cool with that. No, I put it and say, Lord, bless that. But we see here the means by reading, studying, praying, faithfully attending, faithfully participating, faithfully giving. But here's the key to all this. I was thinking about this. All of those things, you're not going to do them if you don't do this next thing. The key is that He, Jesus, have the preeminence. That's what we see in our verse, that He be number one. That He be first. Notice what it says. It says, but seek ye, not second, third, fourth, fifth, but first, the kingdom of God. Example. You want to start your Bible reading. You're not going to do it unless you prioritize time to do it. Now, the best way to do that would be to get up and do it first thing in the morning. But some people like myself, I am not very much of a morning person. Now, the best time for me to read would be the morning, but I don't like to get out of bed sometimes. But you've got to prioritize a time. You've got to make it a point that this is my day. And you say, I'm going to mold my day around this time with God in the Word. I'm going to put Him first. I'm going to get up and look at my day and say, this is all I've got to do, but I have to do this. We do that with many other things, don't we? You say, I've got all this to do, but I got to do that. I got all this to do, but I got to go watch that game. I got all this to do, but hey, we got a family get together, and we're doing this and that, and I got to do that. We need to get that way about the things of God. So that's this example, Bible reading. Same thing with study. Prayer. My goodness, you will never find time to get away and really pray unless you make time to do it. If you keep an actual schedule, pencil in time to read, time to study, time to pray. Say, this is my day, but I'm going to make time to do that. That's showing God, God, I care about you. Because what we prioritize, what we make time for, that's what we care about. And at first, I mean, you may, if we're honest, we may not enjoy it too much because you enjoy doing other things. But as you do it faithfully, you will begin to, because it says there, notice that the word seek, it later on says to crave. Do it long enough, you will crave it. At first, you're not going to want to do it. You're going to be bored. You're going to be miserable. Your prayer, as you pray, you're going to think about everything in the world, but press on. Keep doing it. Faithfully do it. Over time, you'll develop. So that's how we do reading, studying, praying, attending church. You know how you do that? Don't mold church around your life. Mold your life around church. That is if you want to put God first. That's not fun to hear. Because that means you saying, let's look at the year. What does the church have going on this year? Then we'll see when we can go on vacation. I don't like that. Well, are you putting vacation first or God first? If you don't prioritize church, you're not going to go to church. And when you do go, you're going to be wasting your time. And let me back up and say this. Mom and Dad, what you prioritize, your children will. I've got family. The church is the last thing on their mind. And guess what? It's exactly the same way for their children. Hey, you want to see what Mom and Daddy prioritize? Look what children prioritize. So, hey, we got Bible school this week. I got a travel ball tournament. Got to go. Sorry. What are you telling your child? Now, that ain't fun to say, and it's not fun to hear, but that's the truth. That's basically telling them, hey, that ball is more important than God. If we want to faithfully attend church, church has got to become a priority. Not when we feel like it. Now, if you're sick, please stay home. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, Pastor, get me a puke bucket because I'm going to hurl before church is over. I'm not saying that. Please, don't think that. Please. I will tell you, go home if you're about to yak. But, I mean, what I'm saying is, man, I just don't feel like getting out of bed today. Man, it'd just be sweet to sleep in and to watch the news and sip on my cup of coffee and just enjoy the day with my family. Well, guess what you're doing when you say that? You think you sound spiritual. I'm not going to go to church today. I'm just going to enjoy the day with my family. You just made your family an idol. You just put your family right there and God right below them. Got to prioritize it. That's if you want to seek Him first. And then the same thing with not only attending, but participating in church. You say, I'll come to church when they have church services, but when we do extra stuff, don't ask me to do anything because I've got other stuff to do. Got to prioritize it. I would fall out on the floor if somebody said, Pastor Tyler, I've got this going on. It's something we're thinking about doing, but is there anything going on at the church? I want to make sure there's nothing going on that I can be a part of before we go do this. And then when I say no, and then you can go knowing, hey, I put church first. God sees that. God hears that. Hey, your mom and daddy, put church first and your babies will fall in love with the house of God. Jasper's best friends are here. We got to prioritize it. If we don't prioritize it, we won't read, we won't study, maybe for a little while, but not much. Read, study, pray, attend church, and definitely, the last one, giving. You say, well, Pastor Tyler, I just ain't got the money to tithe. I ain't got the money to give to missions. I ain't got the money to give to King's Kids. I just don't have it. Yeah, because you're looking at the money at the end of the month. You prioritize it and say, this is what I'm giving. This is what I give for my tithe. You know what you make, whatever it is. This is what I'm giving to missions. This is what I'm giving to King's Kids. And then we'll see where the rest of the money goes. Well, Pastor Tyler, that means I can't go to Burger King as much. That mad biscuit and gravy, I guess I'm going to be eating scrambled eggs and piece of toast at the house. Hey, you're prioritizing the Lord. And He sees that. He sees that. And He will bless. I'm not saying I give a lot, but in my life, traditionally, the more I have given, the better off I've been financially. And honestly, I'm giving more. That sounds crazy. I'm giving more, but I'm doing better. I mean, it makes no sense. But with God, it does. Prioritize God. Hey, I challenge you. Begin the month. Say, this is what I'm giving here. This is what I'm giving here. This is what I'm giving here. And now let's budget and see where everything else goes. I know that takes work. I know that takes time. I know that takes effort. But that is what God wants for us to do. And God will change your life. Yeah, you may have to have a bologna sandwich instead of a biscuit and gravy. But God will honor that. God will bless that. Seek first. When I say this year, as we look at the title, putting Christ where He should be, too many times in my life personally, I have put other things ahead of God. That's why, if for no one else, in 2023, I'm saying to myself, I want to put Jesus where He should be in my life, in every aspect of it. Put Him first. Not my wife, not my children, not my job, the Lord. The key to all of it is, if we're going to do it, is that He have the preeminence. And look at the promise. Look at the promise. If you seek Him first, we have the Word of God to stand on, even when maybe it's tough. Maybe you've budgeted. You say, God, I'm going to budget to give. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give to missions. God, I'm budgeting. But you know, you see my checkbook. You see how tight it's going to be. I can promise you upon the authority of the Word of God that He will take care of you. Put Him first, and no matter how tight it'll be, He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Or give Him your sloppy seconds, and this promise ain't for you. It's not. But if we put Him first, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What are these things? These things are the food and the clothing that were previously talked about, that we were commanded not to worry about. God's saying, hey, don't be consumed with what you need, but be consumed with Me, and then I'll take care of what you need. He wants us to get to a point where we don't even think about what we need. We just focus on Him, because we know if we focus on Him, He's going to take care of our needs. And that's why I want that to be our theme for 2023. Putting Him, putting Christ where He should be in 2023. And that's number one. And that's not in some aspects of our life. That's in every aspect of our life. And if we'll do that, I can promise you, He's going to take good care of you. And to be honest with you, if we're all honest with ourselves, anyone who's ever done this, tried to do this by God's grace, you can say He took care of your needs and a lot of your wants. Because we got a good God. We sure do. So I want to, in conclusion, and it's easier to do verse 34 when our focus is not on our needs and our wants, but on Christ. But look what it says, and we'll be done. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Two things. Plan for tomorrow. It's okay to plan. Plan for tomorrow, but focus on today. And what I mean by that is, what can you do for Jesus today? See, if all we did was get up, go to work, get a paycheck to meet our needs, and just every day a never-ending cycle, how meaningless is that? But when we quit focusing on our needs and start focusing on Christ, we get up every morning and not say, oh, I got to go to work today. I got to get my needs met. No, you say, I get to serve Jesus today. I get to put Him first today. I am an ambassador for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. See, when we focus on Him, when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it gives our life a grand purpose. So plan for tomorrow, but focus on today and what you can do for Him now. Seek first, not second, not third, but first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of them. You say, well, Pastor Tyler, you don't know what I need. I sure don't, but God does. The Bible says He does, and the Bible promises. Focus on Him. You say, well, Pastor Tyler, I am in a spot right now. You don't know where I'm at financially. I don't know how this bill is going to get paid. I don't know how that bill is going to get paid. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Take your eyes off the problem. Put them on Jesus, and He'll take care of that need. I promise. That's what the Bible says. That is what the God-breathed Word of God says to us. That's a promise. That no matter how hard it gets, you can grab your Bible and hold tight to the truth that you seek Him first, He'll take care of you. Let's seek Him first this year. And let's watch Him do great things. It may mean sacrifice. It may mean changing our flipping up our lives upside down for Him. And what I mean by that is, instead of Him being last, Him becoming first finally, and all what was first becoming last, it'll transform the year we have before us. Hey, if you're like me, I made a lot of mistakes last year. But it's a new year. It's a new day. Bible says His mercies are new every morning. He, by His grace, is telling you and me today, seek Him first. And 2023 will be a year like we've never had before. I'm not saying it's going to be great, but he's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. You may 2023 may hold trials, but if you're seeking him first, you can have peace and joy in the midst of those trials. And God can use you to reach others through that. Spiritually, God wants you to have the best year you've ever had. But the key is seek him first. And all these things will be added unto you. We don't need to worry about what God already knows about. Let's just focus on him. And let him worry about that other stuff. That's what he wants. May God help us to do it. As Miss Anna comes to the piano, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning,